In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue. After writing the first epistle to Timothy, things changed quite a bit. And Paul, he has made his way to Rome, finally. And when the end of the book of Apostle, Paul was in Rome and he was arrested. Let's turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts 28 verse 30 to 31. Next. That is the first imprisonment of Paul in Rome. That marks the end of the Acts of Apostle. The end of the Apostle is not Paul preaching powerfully everywhere, but rather he was under house arrest and waiting for the trial that he was asking to prove his innocence. After a while, he was granted innocence and proved that he had not break any Roman law. So he was released. But after a few years, after some days, the situation has changed. Something happened. Remember I told you, in the year about 64 AD, there was a huge fire in the city of Rome, destroyed more than half of the cities. There were 14 regions in the city. There's only 2 regions were intact. The other were all burned up. And this was very suspicious. But this, because these things doesn't happen all the time. Why there's a great fire and nobody was able to put it out? The rumors has been spread that it was actually the Caesar, Nero, who set the city on fire because he wanted to rebuild it the way he wanted. So people started to believe it and blame it on Nero. And Nero had to find a way to get him off the blame. And he started to spread the rumor systematically, saying that it is Christian who did it. Because Christian didn't worship the emperor, didn't like the kingdom, and then they are making trouble all the time, they are civil disobedient, so they are the one to blame. And from then on, systematic persecution were given upon Christians, not only in Rome, but throughout the Roman Empire. But you can imagine, if you were in Rome, if you were a Christian in Rome, you were the one targeted the most, because you are in the headquarters of the Roman kingdom. So Paul was there, and Paul was considered one of the leaders of the early church. He was very famous for his works and his leadership. He was arrested before, they have his file, and now they re-arrest him. And now this time is not on house arrest anymore. This time they put it into a hard jail, underground dungeon, lock up again, no freedom. And Paul have a sense that this time he may not get out alive, because his time may have come. Paul at that time is a middle-aged to old man already. It's not like a youngster. It's not like a few decades ago he just first preaching, but rather he's of some age. And he knows that this time he may not have chance to come out alive. When he was in prison, he was very lonely, because all of his friends and co-worker, except for Luke, was beside his side. All of the other friends and co-worker has deserted him. The reason is very simple, because if you associate yourself with a Christian leader, a cult leader, in that terms, you will be arrested too. Right? You will be put to jail. You will be persecuted. So the friend, Paul's friend, no matter in church or outside church, try to distance him. Try to have a distance with him to keep themselves safe. So Paul in the prison is very lonely. So he writes to Timothy, the second letter, is the last letter of his epistle. It's considered his last word. The book has two purposes. The first purpose is to tell Timothy to come quick before it's too late. He really longed to see his son in Christ, Timothy. He has no relative in this world. He didn't get married. He didn't have a son or family to take care of him. He really wants to see his son in Christ. So when you read this book, you can kind of feel his heart. Because he is still a human being with flesh and blood. He doesn't want to be alone and die alone. Right? He wants Timothy to come quick, as soon as possible, before it's too late. And secondly, the purpose of the book is to instruct Timothy further about how he should continue the good work. Because Paul knows that I will pass away, I will go. But Timothy is the one who succeeds to take out the baton. So Paul wants to further instruct Timothy how to do things right in church, how to do pastoring in church. And at that time, Paul can sense that Timothy is already having some fear in the heart, some timidity, feeling timid because he's afraid that maybe he may be one day be put to jail, put to death because of the gospel. So Paul wants to encourage Timothy, do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. So the theme of the gospel of this episode is in chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word, no matter if it's in season or out of season. Chapter 4, verse 2, 2 Timothy. So the theme of the book is preach the word in all situations. In season, that means when times are good. When you preach, people listen. There's no persecution. Out of season means when times are bad. When nobody listens, and when people try to kill you, persecute you, you still have to preach the word. So that is the theme of this last episode by Apostle Paul. Of course, there are many good teachings from this book. We'll share a few points. The first good teaching is the encouragement. Do not be ashamed of God's worker and gospel. Chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Next. Do not be ashamed of me who is in chain. Once again, Paul was wearing his chain, and it's for Jesus Christ. So Paul told Timothy, do not feel ashamed of me. There's nothing you should ashamed for, because what we are doing is the right thing. Even though we suffer for a reason. Right. And also, verse 12. Next, verse 12. Feeling ashamed could hurt you. You feel bad, you feel embarrassed when people laugh at your faith, or when your gospel may cause you harm, put you into jail by others. The Paul said, you should not be ashamed of gospel. Why? Because Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, one day when I come, Jesus will feel ashamed of you. If you're in the front of people, people laugh at you and say, oh, no, then I'm not believing in Jesus. Then one day Jesus will say, oh, I'm also ashamed. And will not accept you in his eternal glory. So this is very serious, brother and sister. So that's why we have to not to be ashamed of the gospel. Then how can we do that? Here tell us, why you're not ashamed? Give you two reasons. First, because we truly know whom we believe. If you don't know whom you believe, yes, you may be ashamed, people laugh at you. You say, okay, no, I'm not a believer anymore. But you truly know Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the one who delivers your soul. Who is the one who gives you eternal life. He is the one to put all the unbelieving soul in the everlasting hell. If you truly know He is, you are not ashamed of yourself and you are not ashamed of the gospel. But rather, you feel bad for those who don't believe. You feel bad for those who persecute you. And secondly, he said, because we trust him that he can take care of the things that we entrust to him. That means he'll take care of you always. He'll take care of the work you do. So he is so caring for us. So do not be ashamed. In your school, among your friends, do you testify about Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, how many of you for the past few months has preached to someone or has talked to your friend about your faith? Raise your hand. Very good, very brave. How many of you has ever bring someone to church successfully? Raise your hand. But not successfully, but you preach already. How many of you have a habit of preaching to your friends regularly? Raise your hand. That's good. So we should not be afraid of bearing testimony. If you are afraid, that means you feel ashamed. If you have something really good you want to show people, right? This is very important we share with our brother and sister. In our church that we come from, we have some youngster, some in high school. They even bring in a high school student to come. They come to truth seeking. They don't afraid, they just talk. I remember when a long time ago when I was in New York, more than 10 years ago, they have a street fair. Do you know a street fair? Street fair is usually, every year the street will be closed, and for people you can pay money, rent a booth, and then to sell food or drinks or clothes. Street fair. But our church at that year they rent a booth and hold a street fair there. And they on that Sunday, a lot of evangelical workers they go there and they preach the gospel. And because I was helping the church work there, so I was also following them. I never done it before, so I was thinking, oh, how did they preach to people? How did they start talking to people on the street? But to my impression, there was two young brothers. At that time, maybe one is 7, one is 6. They're so young, and they grab a pile of leaflet and start to walk around the street fair, and loudly, with their undeveloped voice, still like a girl, girl voice, very cute voice, loudly say, come check it out, come check it out, and then give it to all the adults passing by, no matter they're Caucasian or African-American or Chinese, they don't care, they say, check it out, oh, check it out, and then within 2 minutes, they finish the leaflet, while all the other adults still struggling, trying to, who should we talk to, how do we preach. But these two young brothers has no shame of the gospel. But sometimes we have shame of the gospel. We are afraid that, oh, really, if we tell people to come, will they reject me? Will they say something bad about me? Will I offend them? If I preach in my workplace, if I share my faith to my clients, to my students, to my friend, will I offend them? Of course, in the work setting, sometimes we have to be more skillful how to do it. Right. But doesn't mean that we should not share the gospel at all. We should not be ashamed because this is nothing to ashamed of. If you are not ashamed, other people cannot shame you. But if you shame yourself, then of course you'll be more shameful. So we'll be very, very confident by the power of God. So don't feel ashamed of the gospel is what Paul told Timothy. Secondly, we can see his teaching is you must endure suffering. You must endure suffering. Chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. Next. Now, endure suffering is a theme throughout the Pauline Apostle episode. Because without enduring suffering, you cannot make it to heaven. Heavenly journey is not a vacation journey. What is a vacation journey? You eat well, you sleep in a nice hotel, you do sightseeing, people respect you, serve you, and then you go on the journey, right? This is called vacation journey. But heavenly journey is nothing like vacation journey. But rather, heavenly journey is just like a battle journey. You know, a few days ago, I think the whole world, kind of, especially Europe, commemorate the First World War. Do you read the news? It was a 100th anniversary of the First World War. So when I look at those archives and the newspaper, I really admire the soldier at that time, right? You know, fighting the worst First World War. How many of you study history? You study history before, right? Or your major in history. How many of you went to the site, Normandy, and also you in France, you must be visit Normandy before. Now become a holiday resort, right? And those days, wow, those people are dying there. And the trenches, how many of you have really visited trenches? The warfare? You know, they fight the battle, you know, in cold weather, raining, muddy place, hunger, blood, wound, everything. So it's just like living hell. The soldier who fought for the country really deserves respect. But how can soldiers fight for the country? Because they are not afraid to suffer. If you are afraid to suffer, you will never fight for your country. Right? At the same token, if you are afraid to suffer for Jesus, you will never do anything for Jesus. You're not afraid to suffer. We are passing through. Of course, today we are not just like going to the battlefield or dying. But the church asks you to do something. For example, very simple example. If the church asks you, okay, you live here. The church is here. But there's a truth seeker is here. Could you please go to pick him up? Well, if you go directly to the church, it takes half an hour. But going to the truth seeker is half an hour. This direction. If you go to take truth seeker and come back to church, it takes more than one more extra hour. This means in order to pick the truth seeker, you spend 1.5 hours. Now, will you go? Most people won't go. 为什么？我顺路嘛。 Not on my way, he said. You can just say easily, oh, it's not on my way, I'm not the same direction. Yes, it's not the same direction. But if the truth seeker need a ride, right? You have a car, you know how to drive, you can get up 1 hour early on Sabbath, will not harm to anything, then why don't you do it? Right? God give you a car, God give you the health, you can drive, God give you the ability to serve, but why you say that is not on my way? Because you don't want suffering. Right? You could have called the YTTC, but you say, oh, this summer I decided to have a holiday, you know, next year, year two, year one, I already suffer enough. I know some of you are thinking like this already. Wow, only the third day, come on. Right? Today is the fourth day only. I really think twice next year, see whether I'll come. Usually the first year, most people. Second year, half. Third year, one third. The graduation, only a little bit. Right? First year, the most people. Some of you, you think, oh, this year I won't come again because I don't want to suffer. If you don't want to suffer, you cannot achieve anything in the kingdom of God. You think coming here is suffering? How many of you can think come here is suffering? Yes, compared to your house, right? How many of you have your own room? How many of you have your own toilet in your own room? Wow, some of you. How many of you, your mattress is that thick? Wow. Everyone, almost, right? But if you don't want to forsake this comfortable life, you will never do anything meaningful for Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how Lord Jesus Christ, he forsake his comfort in heaven in the glorious kingdom. Come to the world, born in a manger. Become a son of a carpenter. He really suffered a whole lot. But he achieved the most. Now, there was one time I was asking a church member. I asked why his daughter is not coming to SSC. The father is a worker in the church, actually. But I asked him why your daughter is not coming. Why I don't see her name in the SSC list? She said, when she comes to sleep in church, she cannot sleep well. No, plus sleeping on the ground, she has allergy. So that's why she won't come. In my heart, I feel very sorry for the father. And I feel even more sorry for this young sister. If she's continuing to be like this in his life, in her life, he's not going to do anything for Jesus. What does it mean not comfortable? You're sleeping in the church is the most comfortable. You're sleeping with Lord Jesus Christ's presence everywhere. Right? If you cannot fall asleep the first night, you'll fall asleep the second night. Because you were so tired, right? Why you cannot fall asleep? Because you're not tired enough. If you cannot fall asleep 5 days, the sixth day you'll fall asleep. Because sooner or later you'll fall asleep. Why do you have allergy? Because your immune system is too weak. Truly, in Africa, nobody has allergy. But in Western world, we all have allergy, right? Why? Because here, the environment is so clean. Our immune system is so weak. That's why we have allergy to peanuts, allergy to fruits, allergy to fish. Why? Because our immune system attacking ourselves. That's called allergy, right? Your immune system gets the wrong message. But in a very, very undeveloped place, they don't have allergy of food because they're used to the environment. They train well their environment. They sleep on the floor without mattress. They have no mosquito nets, even though there are millions of mosquitoes outside. But they still go to SSC. Wow, they're happy, clapping hands, singing every day. So don't complain that, you are suffering here. Right? If you are suffering, you should really think twice before you say anything. But don't afraid to suffer for Lord Jesus Christ. This is very, very important. And then continue. The third encouragement by Paul is, you should rightly divide the word of God. Rightly divide the word of God. Chapter 2, verse 15. Here tell us, you should rightly divide the word of God. The word of God needs explanation in order to have encouragement. You need to divide it, just like what we divide the Bible, right? Different paragraph, different verses, and then you expound it, you encourage member for that. But don't do it the wrong way. If you do the wrong way, you are just like putting poison in the food, cause food poisoning. Right. If you eat something corrupt or spoiled, your stomach ache, you feel sick. In the same token, if you are the worker of God, if you explain the Bible the wrong way, people get misled, then you have the blame. Yes, they stumble, they cannot receive salvation, you yourself cannot go without blame. So Paul told Timothy, be a worker, divide the word of God rightly, very important. The fourth point, chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 12. Okay. So here tell us another encouragement. We must be patient and endure. Just like a farmer working hard, waiting for the food and endure hardship just like a soldier. Don't just give up easily. Don't just quit. No, you should never say quitting, doing holy work. Don't say, I'm too tired, I should quit. Endure. You know, nowadays, when I saw some youth, My heart is very sad. Well, look at you. My heart is very happy because now you're very fervent for the Lord, right? You love the Lord. You want to serve God. But I saw some youth. My heart is very sad. Why? After they get married, they do less church work. After they have a kids, just like one kid, but they quit all the church work. I'm asking, there was one church, there's one RE teacher. His wife is about to give birth. So the brother submit a resignation to the RE coordinator, saying that he doesn't want to be an RE teacher anymore. So I asked the brother, why you quit become an RE teacher? It's your wife who give birth, it's not you, right? Then why do you quit? Oh, I said, you know, we're going to be very busy, you know. I really want a break. And I asked him, brother, how often do you teach? Once a month, right? Only once a month or twice a month max. 1 hour 1 month or 2 hours per month. Plus the preparation work, maybe 5-6 hours, right? And why do you quit? Well, your wife has only had one child. It's going to have one child, come on. And your wife will do most of the work, right? And you cannot breastfeed. You can, you cannot do most of the work. Then why you cannot just keep up the holy work? He said, no, I want a break. You know, if you ask Jesus for help, Jesus said, I want a break. What will happen? If you ask Jesus to protect you, Jesus said, I'm so tired. You know, I'm so tired of you. I want a break. Will you feel happy? No. So don't quit holy work. Don't turn away holy work for no reason. And of course, if you are very sick or lying on the hospital, you have to resign, right? You have to quit for a while. But you're still healthy. God bless you with a job, with a family. And why are you pushing all the holy work just because of one baby? And some couple, really look at them, I feel sad. They have one baby. After the baby was born, very cute. But both of them playing the baby, even in the church, during service. Both of them hiding in the baby room, not even coming outside listening to sermon. Have you seen this in your local church? Sometimes? Huh? I say, mother can go inside take care of the baby, right? Why are you a brother? You're inside the baby room, right? Just one baby, one parent is enough. Why two of you have to be inside? And you're inside, you're not listening. You're just playing the baby. Some even taking pictures. Smile. In the service time. There was one time I was speaking the sermon. This young couple inside playing the baby and taking pictures during the Sabbath worship. So nowadays, people love the family, their children more than they love God. But Paul told Timothy, you shouldn't be doing this. You should endure hardship. You should put God first in your life. Even God bless you with a family. You shouldn't be pushing everything behind just because of your family. You should put God first always. Right. So this is very important. And then, we must cleanse ourselves. Very important verse. Verse 21, chapter 2, verse 21. Okay. This is one of the memory words you'll see in a test. Okay. Memory words. You have to memorize it in the test. Paul tell Timothy, how can you be a good worker? How can you fight a battle? How can you preach? You have to cleanse yourself from... Actually, we should read from verse 20. Please also read verse 22. Verse 20. Yeah. Okay, 21. In a rich man's house, there are a lot of vessels. 2,000 years ago, if you are very rich in your house, you have gold vessel, you have silver vessel, you have bronze vessel for different purposes, right? You have wood, clay. So the value of the vessel in worldly standard, it really depends on where you come from. This is a worldly standard. For example, if you were born a prince, you're Prince William. Wow, so handsome. Then good background, right? Your goal, right? You're a nobleman. You're noble. you are princess, you are the relatives, you are God. You're born a rich man. You're born from a big family, business person. You give good education, you are gold and silver. Or you're very good looking, you are tall and handsome, smart, you're gold and silver. If you're poor, from a poor family, you're nobody, maybe you're clay or you're whatever. But that's worldly standard. God doesn't look at us from worldly standard. God doesn't care you come from the royal family or not. If you are not clean, even though you are gold, God cannot use you. That's why in verse 21, Paul emphasized to Timothy, you have to cleanse yourself. Doesn't matter you are clay, you are wood, but if God cleanses you, you cleanse yourself, God can use you to do something for him. So Timothy was of no background. He's not nobleman. He's not king. He's not prince. He's not educated, famously. But if he is clean, God can use him. So brother and sister, all of us, we are normal people, right? I think no one is noble here. No one, the father is a parliamentarian or politics leader or president or anyone. We are all normal people, right? Some of you even have a humble background. You come from nowhere. Nobody knows you. But doesn't matter. If you cleanse yourself, God can use you powerfully. Your life can change. So how can we cleanse ourselves? Here tell us, verse 21, 22. Next. Okay, very important, verse 22. Flee from youthful lust. Timothy was a young man. That's why Paul encouraged him specially. You are a young man, young lady, young brother and sister. So that's why this verse expressly applies to us. What is called youthful lust? Lust is everywhere. No matter you're old or you're young, you have it. But young people, the lust is stronger. Because our body is developed and making ourselves ready to form a family, to get married. But this desire, physical desire, if not controlled properly, can destroy you. For example, guys, our youthful lust is the lust of the eyes. Internet is so tempting nowadays. With a click of the button, you can see anything you want to see. In my generation 20 years ago, right? Internet is so slow. Like a snail, right? The first time I used internet, I have to go to the computer science building, check in with the counter, give me a password, and check my email, and the email takes forever to load. And afterwards, you know, I can access the computer using my home computer, and every time I use the dial, that sounds is so familiar for me, maybe for you it's too far away. And takes 1 hour to download one picture. So we don't download anything, right? But later the speed of the internet increased. So a lot of things you can see in the internet. And now even worse. You are living in the worst temptation of all time. Sometimes your pocket computer, your cell phone, your laptop provide the biggest temptation. I know every brother struggle, they say the same thing everywhere in the world. If you are not careful, using the lust of the eyes, pollute your mind, then God cannot use you. So how can we cleanse it? Right? We have to pray together with brother and sister who are pure in heart. We have to flee, here Baba tells us, flee the sinful desire, flee the youthful lust. If the computer is hurting you, you deal with it. Or boyfriend and girlfriend issues. If you are chased by boys outside, or if other outside girls really show interest to you, you have to be careful. Don't fall into temptation. Right? You're still in first year, second year university. It's too early to talk about relationship. Right? It's too early. If you are last year in uni or graduating, then maybe it's time, right? But now you just start uni, it's just first year, second year. There's so many things you have to do. You're not graduating yet. It really shouldn't be thinking boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. Because it's too early. So focus yourself in the truth, build up yourself spiritually, build yourself academically. And the right time when you need to get married, talk to Preacher Michael, right? Or Preacher Johnny, or Preacher Stephen. Of course, you can email me if you want to come to Canada. Right? So wait till the right time, but don't follow the youthful lust just like the young people do when they're in the university. So it's very important. But we cannot by ourselves, the power can overcome it. But meanwhile, by prayer. You know, when you're close to God, all those lust has no effect to you. Just like this week, right? While we come here, we're close to God. You forget even about the world. Every day if you pray, every day you read the Bible, you draw close to God, you have no interest in the world. Yeah, no. Sometimes I look at the world. People ask me, do you watch TV? I say, I have no time to watch TV. I have no time because church work is so busy and then family. But even once in a while I have time, I turn on the TV program. I say, those programs are so meaningless. So meaningless. What are they talking about? Killing each other, shedding blood, corruption, you know, messing around, affair. All those things are rubbish. Really rubbish. There's no spiritual value. So that's why you have to flee from the youthful lust and turn back to God. So that's the main teaching about the book of 2 Timothy. Huh? Of course, chapter 3. Talk about the end time. He also talks about eschatology. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Next. The last day, we have dangerous time. We are in the last days, and our time is very dangerous. Not because we have Ebola or the plane crash. Of course, those are dangerous things. But spiritually, we are in a very dangerous place. If you have time, you can read why we are dangerous. From verse 2 to verse 7 and 8, it's because human heart is corrupted. Humans are controlled by sin. So think about, are we doing that? If we are doing that, following that, we may be living in a very dangerous place. One verse in chapter 3 is very good. Chapter 3, verse 16. Very famous too. We always talk about that. We always quote this verse. It tells us where the Bibles come from. The Bible comes from the inspiration of God. It says that God breath. All scripture is God breath. This means God gives life. Just like God breath to the nostril of Adam, God gives life to the scripture. So you read it every day, every single day. It will really give you the spiritual life and improve your spirituality. In chapter 4, verse 7, also a good memory verse. Chapter 4, verse 7. Next. Eight. I think we can open the window now. They've finished their work. Otherwise, we all fall asleep. No air. Thank you. Okay, so I hope that at the end of our life, we can say this, right? I fought the good fight, finished the journey, kept my faith. And that's what we want to maintain to the end. Remember, making to the end is what it counts. Even though you run very fast in the beginning, doesn't mean anything, right? Making to the end. Now we are in the beginning stage of our life, right? Maybe passing the first, you're only passing the first one third of your life. or 1/4. In front of you, more journey are waiting. But we must make sure we can finish the journey. Any question? If no, we go to Titus. The book of Titus was another personal letter written by Apostle Paul to Titus, his co-worker. It was written also approaching the end of Paul's life, written around 63 to 65 AD. Because Paul sent Titus to a place, to an island called Crete. I don't know whether it shows in this map. In a place called Crete. Yeah, here. This is the island where they established churches. Crete, Galatia. Huh? So Titus was there to help the church. So Paul wanted to write to Titus to advise him how to pastor the church properly. So this is also another pastoral letter. The theme of the book, we can say, is instruction to live a holy life. Instruction to live the holy life. The theme verse could be chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read chapter 2, verse 14. Yes? Second Timothy 4:2. So Titus 2:14. Next. Yes. 2. Preach the word. Okay. 2:14, huh? Titus 2:14. Next, from beginning. Christian. Oh, so God has saved us with blood, and we are supposed to give something back. After we open the window, they start the work, huh? So annoying. But it's okay. But it's okay. Because when we close the window, they'll stop, so we don't close it. So God has given us His life, His love, His blood for us to be His children, so we have to do good. So it's an instruction. So in this book, a lot of instruction about how to refute the false teachers, the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10, those who emphasize about circumcision. I think we have talked about it somewhere else. So there's no need to keep circumcision or clean or unclean animals. So Paul tells Titus how to deal with those issues. Actually, Paul is very strong in teaching, right? What did he say in verse... In verse 12. Verse 12. Next.
One of them, a prophet of the Christians, are always by people who
Verse 13.
This testimony is prepared for
okay, so we see Paul sometimes very sharp. There's a saying that Christians are lazy, granted. Paul said this is true. Rebuke them. Sometimes you encourage people softly, but sometimes you have to rebuke people harshly. If they're no good, tear them off. Well, this is what Paul tells Titus to do. And of course, there's one verse very famous, chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. I'm sure you learned it in basic doctrine, but just really quickly. Chapter 3, verse 5.
Verse 5. Not by words of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Okay, so through two things we are saved in Titus. That is the most important verse in Titus. Through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this verse we usually quote to explain John chapter 3 verse 5. Born of water and of spirit. So Titus 3:5, John 3:5, is one of the words that we use the most in TJC, right? So I believe that Preacher Johnny will talk about that more. So this is pretty much about Book of Titus. Okay, let's pray in silence.
Thank you.